Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. It's good to be with you. It's good to continue to be with you. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Bill Brandt's here, too, because he's got some important things to talk to us about. Bill is the president of Development Specialists Incorporated, which he founded in the 70s, 1976, as a financial consulting and management firm with offices all around the world. And they specialize in helping companies work out of difficult situations. And he's our good friend, Bill Brandt. Welcome back to the show.
Well, Jim, thanks. Nice to be here as always.
It's good to have you back. Bill, one of the things that that I know you want to talk about is China. And in the previous interview with Jim Donovan, we talked a little bit about outsourcing. And, of course, you can't talk about globalization and outsourcing without including China in the discussion. And I know that you're as close as I have in terms of my community of friends. You're as close as anybody that I have who's I consider to be an expert in what's going on in China these days. And I'll say one more thing, and then I'll turn it over to you. I have said for a long time now that China is an economic tsunami that's washing over the country. I mean, washing over the world in a way that's gonna have a lot of impact. And it already is. That is already happening. And I think it's going to continue to happen. What are your thoughts?
I couldn't agree more, although, you know, as you and I discussed just before the program began, people tend to use the name China interchangeably with East Asia or West Asia,
right,
or the subcontinent. And the truth is that following essentially political liberation over the last 20 years, there is a terrible need for jobs, and there are a great class of entrepreneurs. In fact, if they were American, we'd be as proud as whatever. I mean, they've got some real people who are hustling, building industries, and finding low-cost ways to compete globally. And frankly, as I stand back and look at that from a bigger picture as we start the conversation, that troubles me not, because if you're looking for world stability and long-term peace, the fact that you've got a number of people out there from a variety of nations who are in the game and making sure that the nations prosper with the introduction of jobs and manufacturing facilities. That's just not a bad thing, although the short-term dislocation around the world is
right,
obviously causing a fair amount of pain.
That's well said, Bill, and I agree with you 100%. Anytime, and that's one of the things that I'm kind of hoping this is going to happen. I believe will happen in Iraq. Whenever you've got somebody has a job and they have an opportunity to own something, and the organization that they're working for is trying to do business with people who are different from them in other parts of the world, that can't be a bad thing. And I'm going to go back and I'm going to quote something, Frederick Bastiat, who I do at least once a week here, and that's a term that he coined a long time ago, back in the 19th century. He said, "When goods cross borders, armies don't." And that's what you were talking about, and I agree with you.
I couldn't agree more. I am not unaware of the dislocation it causes in a variety of countries, and there are a lot of myths going on, Jimmy. One of them is, of course, that China is this giant vacuum sucking up all the world's jobs, and what people don't realize, because I'm there very frequently and have been now, as I'll be there again starting tomorrow for the fourth time this year alone for an extended stay, China itself is losing jobs.
They're the big loser in percentage-wise in terms of technology.
Not only because of technology, but because we have formed in our mind a lot of the shortcuts that people use to sort of stereotype situations when they want to pigeonhole in a file and deal with something. And we have this picture of Chinese laborers working at 50 cents a day, you know, along down a long card table competing with our highly mechanized industries. And the truth is that China, if you go to Shanghai, you are in New York 10 years ago. The amount of Maybachs and Mercedeses and Jaguars tooling down the streets, the fashion stores that are opening up, the raw consumer spending is simply astounding. I was with a friend the last trip who had not been to China, not been to Shanghai, and he was thinking he was going to come back with this host of souvenirs that, you know, for his daughters and his sons and family friends that had to do with old China. And there is no old China in Shanghai. You actually have to.
You got to go into the country for that, don't you?
No, they saved two blocks of it and built it up for the developer.
Stand by, Bill. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with our good friend Bill Brandt. More to come after these messages. Back at 17 Till, I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Bill Brandt. And Bill, give us your website, please.
It's www.dsi, as in David Sam Indiana, .biz, B-I-Z.
All right. And I know there are lots of articles that you've written and some of your other folks have written. And folks, if you'd like to have a little bit better perspective of what's going on out there in the marketplace from a little different perspective than you see in a lot of publications, I encourage you to check out Bill's website. And Bill, what you work with banks a lot, don't you?
We do. In fact, the truism is I'm the only person, at least at this point, besides the FDIC, who's ever been a receiver for a failed national bank.
Mm-hmm.
We see banks that fail. We see businesses that fail. We tried to resurrect them all, and obviously some we've succeeded and some we haven't. But it's given us an insight to a wide array of business issues that probably crosses all borders and all nature of enterprises.
Well, and obviously the borders is the operative term there, because we're talking about China. Now when we were talking about China earlier, Bill, now you say you're going over there. Are you going over there? In your work that you're doing over there, is this for growing businesses, or is this for businesses that are in trouble?
There are three reasons I'm going there. I go there because American businesses here who have outsourced to China and put joint ventures together are having problems in China making those work. I am going there, and I have been since the last administration, at the behest of the Chinese and American governments, working with state-owned industries in China who are trying to restructure and deal with their own new economy. And, you know, people forget that when I started back in the mid-90s, fully two-thirds of the Chinese economy was state-owned. It's now down to a third, but that's been a terrible shakeout and a terrible problem for them.
Slow down for a minute. I want to make sure we got that right.
Yeah.
The output in China is now only one-third state-owned and two-thirds private-owned?
Yes, and it's fairly funny because
That's a nice trend that we've got going on there.
Well, it's inevitable because the state-owned industries aren't expanding and aren't hiring.
Right.
The entrepreneurial businesses, you know, the joke goes, and it sounds like you're slamming somebody, as they say on Nickelodeon, but it's the truth. They won't hire somebody from the state-owned businesses because the general assumption is that folks who worked in those businesses don't know how to work.
Right.
That it was a welfare state. And to some extent, there's some validity to that. So the Chinese are forced to deal with the fact that this large chunk of their economy consists of about-to-be dislocated workers or workers who are redundant, who are not likely to catch on someplace else. And so a lot of what I'm doing is dealing with the restructuring of the state-owned industries, many of which are truly now owned by the banks because even as state-owned industries, they took loans from banks.
Right.
They defaulted on those loans. The equity eventually, under foreclosure, went to Chinese banks, and that in many ways underpins the problem that the Chinese banks have. Your readers and your listeners may from time to time read that the Chinese banking system teeters.
Yep.
One of the reasons is because they've become a repository for a lot of the lost value in the state-owned industries.
Well, and they made a lot of bad loans, didn't they?
They didn't. It's funny. They didn't make a lot of bad loans. They were told to make a lot of bad loans.
All right.
The intertwine between banking and politics until 5 or 10 years ago was absolute.
So are you saying that when they clean up, when this mess gets cleaned up, not unlike the way our SNL debacle back in the 80s got cleaned up, that maybe the damage has been done and it's not continuing to be done?
No. Take the SNL crisis and the dislocation it put forth in this country, mm-hmm. multiply it by 10 or 20 times.
Wow.
And that's what the Chinese are facing. And clearly, no economy, not ours or not theirs, can deal with that in a compressed time frame.
Right.
This is going to dribble out over 20 years, and it's to all of our benefit that it does. If it happens faster, it causes havoc.
So we don't need the Chinese economy is sort of faltering a little bit right now. I think I'm correct in saying that, Bill. And we actually we don't need it to collapse for sure. Even though a lot of people complain about how China is competing with us, we really don't need it to slow down that much, do we?
The broad answer is no, we don't want it to slow down. If it did, it would be eerily reminiscent of what happened when the Japanese economy slowed down in the late 80s and early 90s and brought the world slow down with it. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, there aren't just one Chinese economy, or there isn't just one. There is the state-owned industries, which is going to slow down regardless. And there is a class of entrepreneurs in China doing the new privatized production, which is the stuff that Americans are really seeing the brunt of. I mean, there's no competition for America in state-owned industries. But there are two economies in China, and it's the entrepreneurial economy we want to encourage, and it's the dislocation as the old state-run economy winds down we want to manage.
Right. What do you think is the biggest impact of the Chinese emergence into the world marketplace as they're doing now? What do you think the biggest impact is on small businesses in America?
I think it's a wonderful impact. And people look at me when I give these speeches around the country, and they assume that I stopped at the bar on the way into the podium. And the singular truth is, the American consumer, and for that I put small business in that category, mm-hmm. because many of the supplies and many of the products you need to buy to turn around and make a small business work are price sensitive. One thing that the Chinese economy, and again, when we say China, I mean in the broader sense, and mm-hmm. people should mean Malaysia, India,
right.
Singapore, Vietnam. One thing that they have done through price competition is keep the costs of goods and to some extent services, but mostly goods, extremely low, far lower than most people could imagine. I was discussing with a couple of women.
Bill, would you hold on
to
that thought? Sure. I want to let you talk about what you were discussing when we come back after these messages. We're going to take a quick break, folks. It's 10 till. We'll be right back with our good friend Bill Brandt. He's the president of Development Specialists, Inc. That's DSI, Development Specialists, Inc. Stay with us. Back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Bill Brandt. And let me give you his website again, folks. Go to DSI.biz, and you'll read a little bit more about Bill and his organization, and you'll be able to find a lot of different articles, a lot of case studies, and things that you can find out there that you might even see yourself there a little bit. If your business is having a little bit of trouble, you might want to go and read about some of the things that Bill and his organization have done, and maybe it'll help you a little bit. I hope it will. And if Bill can help you, I know he'll be glad to. You can email him from his site. You want to give us a website, a phone number, Bill?
Sure, 312. As in the area code for Chicago, 263-4141. That's our national headquarters, and somebody there can always help you. Just ask for me.
I appreciate that. Bill, I had to stop you because we went to a break. Do you remember you were discussing something?
I was marveling. I was sitting with a bunch of ladies recently, and I don't mean that in a demeaning way, and they were discussing costs, and they were marveling at the fact that generally it had just sort of begun to dawn on them that all of the clothes they are buying for themselves and their kids cost about the same or less than it did 20 years ago, which was a marvel to them given inflation. And when you talk, I mean, and you and I can talk about the price that has been paid by the workers in the Carolinas and the textile mills for that price point and what has happened to the textile business in this country as the production has moved offshore. But for small business, if it is true that consumers drive the economy and have kept us largely out of a depression and skirting a recession,
right,
one of the reasons consumers have been able to do this is the flow of goods has never been cheaper. The discounters are taking advantage of these outsourcing issues, and for every lady who buys six or seven more dresses and needs more hangers to hang them on and needs more vinyl boxes to put them in and on down the line, there are small businesses throughout this country who supply that stuff, and to the extent goods and services move, there are smart people who can take advantage of it. So for the time being, the cost, if you will, or the advantage to the American consumer has by a large margin, in my mind, outweighed the dislocation to selected American workers, which I still won't underplay. It's been tough.
It's been
tough. But it is not unlike what happened when just in the 60s and 70s we shifted away from the dominance of the automobile in our economy to services.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. The challenge, where we're different now, though, I've made the argument that what we're going through now is different from any other time in our history, and other people have said, well, this happened in the turn of the 20th century and that sort of thing. But to me, it's a lot easier for a farmer to go to a factory than it is for a factory worker to go to a computer desktop. And what we've got to do, Bill, and I think you probably agree with me on this, is we need to be working more on getting these people retrained and getting the people who are coming along who've never had a job yet, making sure that they're prepared for the 21st century American jobs.
We do, Jim, and my singular goal is to make most of these people radio announcers with their own shows. I have decided that there's probably, I mean, it is easy to take a farmer and give him a radio show, I've decided.
That's, well,
and so I'm trying to get.
You know about my background then, don't you?
I'm trying to get some of the folks in Congress. There's a great overlooked need for radio shows in America.
That's all we need is more radio hosts.
I think that you can deal with the competition. I mean, you'd blow it all away, but.
No question about it.
But all kidding aside, retraining has to happen. There is also a demographic issue. I see it in China. There are people, as when the entrepreneurs won't hire the folks from state-owned industries, there are folks who are going to struggle with this for the rest of their lives. And in my mind, there has to be some type of safety net for them, and that leads into all kinds of discussions of social issues, which you and I aren't prepared for tonight. There will be some who do not recover from this. That is the inevitable flotsam and jetsam of what happens when the world economy changes. And you're right. It happened at the beginning of this century and other times.
Where do you think the Chinese economy is going to be a year and 2 years from now?
It's struggling. People look at me cross-eyed when I say that. It is that the Chinese entrepreneurs and the other East Asian entrepreneurs who are making money are figuring out that there are lower-cost production sites in India, Bangladesh, Vietnam.
So the jobs are leaving. They're leaving China and going to India?
China is a net, well, not so much India. You're seeing white-collar stuff go to India.
Right.
Production stuff is going into lower East Asian countries.
Mm-hmm.
But China is a net loser of jobs right now, yes.
Yep. Yeah, they've lost 15%, I think, of their manufacturing jobs, haven't they? Isn't that what the report showed?
And the difference is eerily similar to what happened to us in the early 90s. Mm-hmm. We used to try and compete with Chinese labor costs through increased mechanization. The Chinese now are moving into increased mechanization, and the displacement is putting lower-priced workers in other countries, hitting them against Chinese mechanization.
Bill,
that's
Brandt,
where this is going.
Thank you for being here today. Have a safe trip to China. You're leaving today, I know, and we look forward to talking to you when you get back.
Thanks, Jim. Look forward to it. Take care.
Bill Brandt, ladies and gentlemen, a great American. His website is dsi.biz. Don't forget to check that out. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest entrepreneurial country in the world. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.